It's Monday, December 12th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, show number 728, sponsored by GoDaddy.com, Geek News Central, proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Also, Geek News Central sponsored in part by Audible.com. Get your free 14-day trial at audible.com/geeknews. Yes, we're a little off to a little bit of a rough start here. We'll talk about that in a second. Lots of switches in the positions they shouldn't be. I've got a great show for you anyway. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. And as I'm sitting here, I'm looking over the TriCaster, making sure it's doing what it's supposed to do, make sure the stream is up. Had a little bit of a problem, self-induced. And I'm luckily I found it yesterday, but we'll talk about it here in a second. I'll give a warm welcome to the Ohana, all of you that are longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. And of course, we want to welcome the listeners and viewers from around the world that have tuned in. From the 180 some countries that are actually subscribed to the show, we're glad that you're still with us. If you're new to the show, all you really, basically, you got to get involved here, and it's very easy to do so. All you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com, check out all the great content over there. Of course, we've got a bevy of writers that are putting up daily new blog content, and of course, you can subscribe to the show by the second column of the website. You'll see that subscribe bar there with all those RSS icons and iTunes and Zune Marketplace. And really, you get subscribed to all the shows that you want. And the special media events feed is starting to kick alive as we're getting ready for CES 2012. So don't miss that. On the top of the website, you'll see a link to the newsletter as well. The newsletter really covers everything that I'm going to talk about in tonight's show. That will go out immediately following the show. And basically, you'll be able to be abreast of what's happening really from the time you wake up and get the show delivered directly to your inbox. And really, we're recording this here in Honolulu. It's about, let me look at the time, about 8:30. I'm about 30 minutes late getting started tonight. That was an Amazon issue. The Amazon live stream didn't want to come up real quick. But anyway, we're here and we're back in Hawaii. Glad to be back in the studio. It's absolutely wonderful to be back here. The weather's been raining, but I don't care. I'm home and getting kind of ramped up for the holidays. I had the Christmas music cranked here in the house this weekend. And, you know, my wife is still in this traditional Japanese 48 days of mourning, so I had to kind of temper it a little bit. Had to be kind of... cognizant of her feelings, and so she'd go out and do a little shopping. We'd play a little Christmas music and kind of trying to stay within the confines of not trying to get too much into the spirit of Christmas, because really the way the Japanese do things is that you're really not supposed to have any fun or any outward expression during the time. We don't follow necessarily the traditions of the Japanese way here in this household, but we still have, you know, a medium of respect as well for the culture, of course. Hey, want to make sure you watch the show on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV. We're on all the devices, so you'll be able to watch us on the channel over there, so make sure you check that out. Of course, we're streaming live tonight at live.geeknewscentral.com, and of course on the Geek News Central website as well. As those of you watching the video, you see some new lower thirds on the website, and I'll talk about that here in a second. But if you want to reach me on Twitter, you can do so at Geek News. That's a great way to reach out to me. Of course, you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call our show hotline at +1-619-342-7365. That's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for you to be able to really to kind of reach out to us and let us know what you feel about the show. Let me talk here just real quick. Well, actually, let's take care of a sponsor message first, and then we'll get into exactly what happened when I got back from Austin. You know, GoDaddy's been a longtime sponsor here, and they have really been terrific this year in putting together deals and promotions that you can utilize to save money. And we've been barraged here over the last week with some cool deals that is going to hopefully help you save some money in shopping for Christmas presents. Now, I've got a deal for $1.99.me. In other words, a .me domain. So this is new for the first year only. So if you want to register your own .me, you can for $6.99. All you got to do is when you get to the checkout counter, is use the promo code GEEKME. Now, I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out as well. We also got .co. Those are .company domains, .co, where there's $13.99 for the first year only, and you're going to be able to use the code GEEK13 to get that deal. Now, we've got this great deal going on in this web hosting package, and this web hosting package is really where it's at and where you should check out. Now, you get a 3 months of economy web hosting for just $1.99 per month. So for $5.97, you get $3 of economy hosting, and then you can renew that for 12 months using one of my other promo codes. So, people ask me, well, what's that economy plan make up? You get 10 gigs of space, unlimited bandwidth, 100 email accounts, 10 MySQL databases, and this is a great deal. It really, really is. It's a great savings on the package, and again, for a 12-month plan, you can use one of my promo codes after you get through with those first 3 months. But definitely check the offering out here at GoDaddy. Now, the code for that, let me look and see if I've actually got the code list. I think I do on my page where you can actually go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And actually, I need to update that. So we'll update that and make sure the information is in there for you to get that info. Actually, I need to update so that we get some Google juice back on. I'm missing out on some search engine results. And one other offer we have is the free GoDaddy private registrations. It's a $9.99 per year value. So when you register, transfer one or more domain, you can get the private registration for $9.99. And of course, again, you can find, and here I am messing with audio levels. You can get the links here to, here we go, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy to get all the promo codes I have available for you to use to save a butt ton of money. And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. And they keep the lights on and keep my family fed. And we appreciate every time you go out and want to use one of those codes. So I have that link up for you to check out. All right, let me go ahead and talk a little bit about what happened here at the studio. Got back Saturday afternoon. Really didn't do too much Saturday. Just kind of vegged out, spent time with the family. Of course, I had a great time in Austin last week. Had a great meeting Friday with Dell. That went real well. But when I got back in the studio Sunday, I had to record this intro for CES 2012. So, you know, I get the kind of studio set up and I'm ready to go. I load the TriCaster up and I'm like, where's my profile for this show? And basically what it does is when you load the TriCaster, you get different profiles set up. Like I got a profile for CES, one for Geek News Central, one for some other special events. And it basically loads the different titles and graphics and stuff that you want. And there was no GNC profile. Well, what I had done just before I left, I'm basically getting all ready for the show. So what I had done the previous week is I made a gold image of the boot drive for the TriCaster. The TriCaster is booting up, and I had taken all the drives out, except for the master drive and the new drive I put in that was going to be my my new image. Well, ever since I've had the TriCaster, I have thought that the C drive was the drive that was in the very topmost bay. I could have all three drives out, the machine would boot fine. I never tried to boot the machine with four drives out, but lo and behold, I am such a knucklehead I am such a knucklehead when it, you know, I had never thought that there would be an internal drive as well. So what had happened was my D drive, or excuse me, my E drive, where the GNC stuff was at, that whole profile and everything else, all my lower thirds, all the graphics. I had overwritten that drive when I made an image drive, and the brand new drive that I had bought for GNC was still empty. And I just, you know, I just did one of those, oh my God, you're a geek. You call yourself a, you know, a computer guy. You're such an idiot. So what I had to do was, as you can see, we've got new lower thirds today, right? They're real pretty. And some of you that have been around for a while know where those lower thirds come from. I've got to go back in and redesign it, put the colors back in that I want. And anyway, long story short, luckily, none of my streaming profiles or any of that stuff was overwritten, and I had everything backed up. Wow. I just sit here and I walked out of the office and I told my wife, I said, I just caused myself like 3 hours worth of work. So I spent Sunday afternoon getting everything back in line and back ready to go. And, you know, what can you do? What can you do? You know, I just, it just amazes me. I amaze myself. I really, really do. I saw Michael Dell's up on the stream. Hey, Michael's going to be at Ford tomorrow. I'm glad I didn't know, Michael, that they had confirmed that. So Michael's going to be at Dell covering the Ford event for us for Geek News Central. So look forward to seeing Michael's report from the event that he goes over, I think, over the next day or two. So we look forward to that and putting information out. And he's staying at the Dearborn Inn. So good luck with that, Michael. Okay, let me look at my stack here. Anyway, that was my biggest goof of the year. Also, teenagers. I got two teenagers in the house. They're driving me insane. I will have, I my hair. I'm looking at my hair. My hair is getting rapidly grayer. I swear to goodness. It's from my teenagers. My wife and I were smooth sailing. Everything's cool. But the kids are driving me nuts. They really are. Anyway, so that's it. Hey, we had some more donations come in. I don't have the list today. We'll cover it on the next show. But we really appreciate any of you that are helping our support staff for CES 2012. I hope that you'll take the time and throw us $25 or $50 or $100 or whatever you feel like. That really helps us out. And you'll find a link to the donations on the show page. We've got definitely a long way to go. We've got just a couple more weeks to raise some money. So we hope that you've got a little money left over from your Christmas shopping to help donate to our support staff for CES 2012. And lots of stuff ramping up there. We'll be talking about that more later in the week. Also on Robot Underpants, just a fair warning to everyone. That show, I am going to have to slap an adult flag on. Langley and some of his guests have gotten a little rambunctious. So we need to definitely put a warning flag on there. So this is definitely a show that's on the website. I would not consider that a child safe show anymore. So I just wanted to put that on there. And I appreciate everyone's understanding. I give all the content creators that are part of the network a lot of leniency in how they do their shows. This is an audio only show, but we will be putting that flag on there. This show, of course, will stay family safe. So will the Gadget Professor. Of course, the Saturday Morning Tech, of course, the Chrome Show too. So just keep you aware there. Hey, want to thank Audible for their sponsorship here. You know, what a great product. I mean, it is absolutely outstanding. You know, I've been, when I was coming back on the airplane, I had just about 2 hours left on the Gadgetplex. I knocked that out. And then I was listening to some podcasts and I came back to a new book. Got my new notification of I got another credit I can use. I went over to Audible and really, they have so many books online. A little over 80,000 audiobooks are available. And this makes it really difficult to picking a book every month because there's such a wide selection. So I figured maybe it was time to did a little like self-improvement type of stuff. So I picked a self-improvement title and started listening to that. That seemed to be a pretty good one as well. But 80,000 books, all read by professional readers, very intriguing. It's like theater of the mind. It's absolutely outstanding. And you can get a free book on me here by going over to audiblepodcast.com/geeknews, audiblepodcast.com/geeknews. Get that trial. It's a 14-day trial, but you get a free book just for doing the trial, and give it away as a Christmas present. Sign it up, get the user account set up, and then give that to as a gift that keeps giving all year long. And really, it's an inexpensive way to give someone something new every month. It's really a great great product and a great service. And I think the person that you give it to will really love it, and they'll thank you for it. They really will, because 12 books over a year on those that you sign up for the premium account. And it's the beauty of it. Okay, let me go ahead again. audiblepodcast.com/geeknews. All right, let me go ahead and look at my stack here of stuff. I think I've got everything covered. Lots going on, really. I mean, it's been nuts crazy here. And the email from CES vendors is just simply off the hook. I mean, it's just been nonstop. It really, really has. And we've been emailing and setting up appointments, and it's gotten big. It really, really has. But lots to cover here over the next month. We're going to have lots of great coverage for you. Remind your friends, this is going to be CES Central. Matter of fact, the folks at CNET, I was laughing today because they were saying they're the official streaming source for CES. And I'm going to give them a run for their money. We are going to go all out to make sure that our content reaches more vendors, more cool stuff than anyone else. You know, my team is up to it. We've done it in the past. You know, we've outperformed many, many other sites on, you know, the sheer scope of the information that we're putting forth to you. So it's going to be a great show. It really is. So we look forward to having that ready for you to go. I found a article over on curbsonsecurity.com, and this is something all of you that use peer-to-peer sites are going to want to be very aware of. There's a website called youhavedownloaded.com, and if you recently grabbed a movie, some music, some software from an online file trading network, chances are pretty decent here, according to this article, that the site has heard of you. In fact, you may find that the titles you downloaded are now listed and public searchable at the site, indexed by your IP. So I don't do any peer-to-peer at all, and it's completely outlawed to be utilized here by my kids, and I don't want them picking up music and stuff. And you can go over and put your IP in, and it will tell you what you've downloaded. So they've recorded more than 50 million unique internet addresses belonging to file sharing users. The site is searchable by file name and by internet address. And this is just an easy way for someone that's trying to pick off some violators to go in and get information. And I just find this to be pretty shocking here, that this site is able to garner this data. And I don't know how they're doing it, but it appears that there's some sort of sniffing going on, and people are not real happy about it. Now, the site allows Facebook users to comment on their impressions, and responses range from horror and anger to amusement. And also has received information from people saying, hey, I haven't downloaded anything. But also there's another thing too, is your IP has changed from time to time. So you might pick up someone else's IP, but people are worried, and rightly so, that this information is filed. So youhavedownloaded.com is the website for you to go check out. Now, there's so much stuff in the news about SOPA and open. I mean, it's gotten to the point where I quite honestly, I'm a little burned out on it, you know, and I think maybe that's, and maybe you guys are too, but we really have to be careful not to take our, really our eye off the ball here on this, because it could be getting to the point where they could shove this through if they think they're, you know, they've wore us down. So we need to be just stay aware of what's going on. But Wikipedia founder Jimmy Wales wants to blank out all pages of the online encyclopedia, Wikipedia, to oppose the pending SOPA anti-piracy bill. And he has asked the Wikipedia community for input on the idea. He fears the bill could seriously hurt the internet and thinks that blanking out Wikipedia will send a strong message to lawmakers. Now, later this week, the Senate's House Judiciary Committee will vote on the Stop Online Piracy Act. And if this gets out of Senate, it gets it out of the Judiciary Committee onto the Senate floor, who knows what's going to happen from that point. But, you know, there's another bill pending. It's the open bill. It's got its own issues. The folks over at Tech Dirt have a huge write-up and a breakdown of the pluses and minuses of open as well. Because, they, you know, I told you they were going to analyze this new one to death as well, and they have. So, you know, I kind of skimmed through it, and I don't think either one is good, you know, at this point. I really, really don't. So we're going to have to see where this goes. But, you know, I guess if I wanted one over the other, we'd want to have the open one go through. But, you know, SOPA is really close here. So we'll see where this goes. And Jimmy Wales says in this, one of the things he says here is he may be going to the White House to have a meeting. And I don't, that sounds pretty interesting. I don't know if he's a Democrat supporter or if he just got a meeting with the folks at the White House because of his affiliation with, you know, his running of Wikipedia or not. But we'll see what happens here with what Jimmy Wales decides to do on the Wikipedia part. All right. Remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about Verizon talking to Redbox? Well, Verizon is now talking to Netflix, I guess, and their stock went up about 6% today because it's rumored that they're in acquisition talks. Now, Verizon is doing all kinds of things in space, and one of the things it did wrong today in the space was it sent a civil emergency alert to folks in New Jersey. Now, any of you that live in New Jersey, listen to the show, did you get this? They sent what's called a CMAS alert, civil emergency in this area until 1:24 p.m. Eastern Standard. Take shelter now, U.S. government. That's kind of an interesting text message to get. A civil emergency in this area. What does that mean? You know, civil emergency. Does that mean there's riots in the streets or there's a storm or there's a nuclear weapon raining down on one's head? What does that mean? But they did not put test on this. So, you know, while in one hand they're sending out civil emergency alerts, they're at the same time trying to, now considering acquisition of Netflix, it just goes to show you Verizon's a very, very big company with lots going on and not all of it necessarily positive. So, we'll see where this rolls. Hey, many folks that have the Amazon Kindle Fire have been just complaining upside down one way or the other. And Amazon has basically said today that they're going to be releasing a software update for the Kindle Fire to improve in performance and make touch navigation easier and let users choose what items are displayed. They say that the update will be available in less than 2 weeks in an email statement. Now, the email I got from Amazon, basically, I got a kind of a notice from them as well saying, hey, there's an update coming. We've known that some of you have had some issues, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, be honest with you, it's a new device. And, you know, they rushed to get this thing out. So it's going to take a little time. And everyone wants an iPad experience. They're not going to get an iPad experience with a Kindle. They're going to get a modified Android experience. And ultimately, what Amazon may have to kind of revert to more Android-type features to satisfy everyone. because they've definitely built it for their marketplace. As you can be, you know, and they built, they're selling it to you cheaper than what the manufacturing cost is. So they're hoping to make money on stuff you're going to be buying through Amazon. But they say they're going to continue to make things better with regular software updates and hope that people can be a little bit patient. I think they're going to get this figured out, but they've received over 2,200 consumer complaints about performance and issues with the Kindle Fire. Considering how many they've sold, that's not bad. Now, one thing we don't hear too much about is talking about jailbreaking Windows Phone 7. And, that's something that, I was like, oh, they've jailbroke that? Well, apparently, when you jailbreak a Windows phone, you have the ability to change a lot on the main screen. You're able to load different applications, different links, change the outlook. There's all kinds of cool stuff that you can do. Now, there's a tutorial on how to set up themes, and once you've basically unlocked your phone, you can do this, and there's a little tool out there. Now, this is not a sanctioned hack, so you can find information on this on windowsphonehacker.com with information on how to unlock your Windows phone and how to build some homebrewed themes onto it and kind of have your own custom look. When people see your phone, they'll say, hey, that's very slick. So it's also nice to have an original interface. Over the weekend, there was a report that came up talking about Apple and its patents, and specifically Apple turning over some of its patent to a company that, from all intents and purposes, looks like some sort of affront to do its dirty work. Now, it appears here that Apple's made a deal with a patent troll company named Digitude Innovations. Now, Apple has transferred several of its patents to a company that resides in the same building as Digitude Innovations, maybe on the same floor, but yet there's nothing listed anywhere about the specific company that Apple has transferred to. So they feel that they've sent this over to a shell company called Clift Island LLC. And of course, again, this, as I said, it shares the New York office space with this group. And it appears that Apple may be trying to do, some arm twisting without having the Apple name out in the public. But the folks at TechCrunch and other places, Forbes, have reported on what this company's background is, some of the settlements that they've made with the with companies like Microsoft and RIM and eBay over previous patent disputes, not specifically this one. But this is kind of an interesting move here. And maybe Apple's trying to not look so bad in the public relations department when it comes to enforcing their patents. So they're just quietly sneaking these off. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but if you're going to do something like that, Apple, just go ahead and stick your neck out there and don't be afraid to take the PR hit. Because when you do this stuff, it makes people even more suspicious of your actions. All right, over on MacRumors.com, well, it's all about smoke and mirrors. Apple has decided to obscure future device hints in the iOS 5.1 Beta 2 with fake references. So they've got all these different devices listed. iPhone 8.2, 9.3, TV 8.3, iPhone 11.3, Apple TV 9.2. It's all these different versions that they've listed, this whole stack of stuff, so that when the folks that go looking for telltale signs of new devices, they're not just seeing a short list. They're seeing a huge list with lots of listings. And I find it pretty interesting that they're doing that. Now, what we do, as a matter of fact, as Angelo has just finished up last week, was he was going through all our logs and looking at all the referral names and breaking it out and figuring out which device belonged to which referral code. So now we're breaking out tablets and phones for our premium customers. We're breaking out a whole segment of data that we never used to. And it's pretty down in the weeds when you're getting in there and looking at all this stuff. So from our perspective, because we audit these logs on a monthly basis, we're able to see all kinds of obscure things that come in and say, okay, well, that's new. What does that go to? And sometimes there's historicals that allow us to get from here to here because they'll maybe keep a naming convention similar to a previous test item. And then all of a sudden when it switched, came on the market, the name changed a little bit. So we're able to get a lot of insight because we're tracking really millions of referrals from different types of devices. And I think Angela said we're now tracking close to 140 devices that are actually consuming this media and other types of media that's out there. Well, different types of media from our network members, audio and video content. And so it's pretty exciting that there's that many devices out there actually pulling or accessing the content. I would have never thought that there was that much. I knew we were over the 100 mark some time ago, but to be almost close to 140 is pretty huge. So I find it kind of interesting here that Apple is trying to obscure future device hints by basically changing what's called the US device configuration playlist and adding a whole bunch of stuff to make people say, okay, how can we tell? And you can't. So what they've really done is they bet on the future and putting all these different versions in and have their naming conventions down on what they're going to do in the next several iterations. And I see in here a couple of listings for Apple TV, Apple TV 9.2. There's at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, six different listings just for the Apple TV. Well, there's only one Apple TV on the market right now. So time will tell on how well this leads people astray. But I think maybe it's a sign that they're really ramping up their device and numbers. So maybe we'll have a lot more offerings here soon. A set-top box is predicted to have sold 4 million units and grabs a 32% market share in 2011. This is huge. When we talked to Samsung at CES 2011, they told us they expected to have 6 million Samsung smart TVs sold in 2011. And if the Apple TV set-top box has sold 4 million and they have 32% of the market, I don't think Samsung has reached that 6 million plateau yet, unless they have more than 50% of the market, which I could kind of doubt considering the Roku, the Boxy, the Logitech review, all the different devices that are out there. I would find it hard to believe that Samsung smart TVs have done 6 million. I hope they have, maybe worldwide. But anyway, well, actually, they're only referring to set-top boxes. So Samsung smart TVs would be in a different category. So that's totally plausible. But this is interesting. For a hobby, this is a pretty good hobby. The strategy analytics estimate that the market for connected TV players has doubled this year, reaching almost 12 million units on the momentum considering lower price compared to previous years. And we know that in September 2010, it debuted at just $99, which was cheaper than the $229 price tag on the original hard drive-based Apple TV. So we'll see where this goes in the future here. But you guys know I've invested heavily in the set-top space. We spend just an inordinate amount of programming hours making sure that this program and the programs of our network affiliates are all available on these set-top boxes so that you can pick up and instead of watching a movie on Netflix, you can load the Tech Podcast channel, the Blueberry channel, the ProMed Network, the Travel channel, and get access to our full lineup of programming for those shows that have qualified their shows for those devices. So it's pretty cool that we can do that. And it's nice to see our app really on equal playing field as the rest of these big company apps. All right, Google has removed 22 Android apps due to what's called the Roo fraud mobile attack. And this is specifically targeting European users. What's going on is 22 applications from Android Marketplace in the past week have been removed due to a rogue element within the apps that basically cost the user money. When the user downloads the app that promises wallpaper art, horoscope readings, free popular games, the person, when he launches the app, sees a to continue to kick below prompt, and basically it goes through some terms of service, and the next thing you know, you're being charged to receive and send text to some location, and this causes people's fees to go up. And currently, United States mobile users are affected since the app first reads the phone's SIM card to find its country of origin. U.S. SIM cards have a block against the code that these apps are using to send and receive text messages, but countries that are affected are Russia, Azerbaijan, Armenia, Georgia, Czech Republic, Poland, Kazakhstan, Belarus, Latvia, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Ukraine, Estonia, Great Britain, Italy, Israel, France, and Germany. So again, so far it's only going after users in those countries, but they're pulling the apps with nearly 14,000 people had downloaded and received some fraudulent charges to their bill. So we'll keep an eye on that. I'm sure more of this stuff is going to be popping up as time goes on. Hey, the New York Times in their technology section, specifically their personal tech area, has an article entitled, "Are We Suffering Global Gadget Fatigue?" And I have to be kind of the first to admit, you know, I'm inundated with gadgets and it gets a little bit overwhelming at times. And, you know, I put up a gadget, play it for a couple of days and I'll put it down because we just have more gadgets than we can use here. And part of it's because we do stuff for the show and testing different stuff that we're doing at Raw Voice and so forth. But I know from my perspective that, you know, just phone upgrades and, you know, from an iPad 1 to an iPad 2 and from computer upgrades, it gets pretty overwhelming. And we get inundated with stuff to the point where, and I'm saying that a lot tonight, inundated. I don't know why that term has come up a lot tonight, but it has. But do you think you're feeling gadget overload? Are you at the point where you just, oh, I've had enough and I need to stop? First of all, it's expensive, right? So I'd love to hear your feedback. geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Or you can call our voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365 and tell me if you are experiencing gadget burnout or gadget overload, and would you rather see gadgets come to market not as often but with more bigger feature enhancements when they do, just to give you more bang for your buck. I think we all probably just off the QT here probably agree to that. But some folks, you know, change their cell phones like they change their underwear. But there is a finding that was a bit surprising. It says that the consumers consider the innards of high-tech devices, they do care what is inside. Some 55% of consumers, according to the report, said that they are more concerned about where high-tech parts components come from than where the phone was assembled. So, you know, they want, and when you get into electronics, it's very hard to be environmentally friendly when you're building, you know, microchips, putting in you know, microcapacitors and different types of stuff like that. You know, that is not a clean process to build that by any means. So I don't think even if a U.S. supplier was building the gadgets would be, you know, it'd be a completely clean process. But it is an interesting byproduct of this survey. So I have a link up from the show notes for you to check that out. And, you know, I am a dragon here. Is in Hawaii, we call our things that we sit on our okoli. And my okoli tonight is dragging. I had a big day. It started very early this morning with some meetings in New York and on the phone. And then it led to taking the kids to school and sitting in traffic two times. And it was just, and all the other things that went on, it's been nuts. So if I feel a little look frazzled and sound frazzled, I apologize in advance. We'll get back on the full time zone here over the next couple of days. You know, I received an email today from the folks at Sony who are now the owners of Gracenote. And Gracenote has been around for a long time. Of course, Gracenote was known for music libraries and a variety of other things, but Gracenote has been owned by Sony now for 3 years, And they compete with Yahoo, a company like IntoNow, and social check-in services like Mezio and GetGlue. Yeah, they sent me this long email saying, hey, we're going to be introducing this brand new secret stuff at CES. We want to get your team. We want you to come out and meet with us and blah, 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 blah. And I said, oh, great. We want Grace Snowdon. We've had him on in years past. And I said, you know, let's go ahead and get you scheduled. And so when I'm doing show prep tonight, lo and behold, Grace Note readies its own second screen platform. And I'm thinking, all right, Giga Ohm, how did you get this info? And because it was supposed to be like embargoed and not supposed to be announced yet. So before the show tonight, I emailed the Grace Note rep and I said, how come this is on the web? This is not going to be news by the time CES is out. But it talks about, I'm not going to go into it too deep here, but it basically uses a tablet's microphone to listen to the audio track of what's playing on the TV. And then it checks its database against a video content to deliver the information about the content that you're listening to over the tablet. And they're saying that Grace Note servers will eventually be able to deliver rich scene-level metadata for tens of thousands of movies, and as far to offering links to buy any of the products shown on the screen, which is curious. It comes up a commercial with a car. You got a link there to buy clothes, things that are actually probably in the actual video itself, people's shirts that they're wearing, drinks they have in their hand, and so forth. So this is interesting. We'll definitely talk to Grace Note at CES, but I'm like, why are you telling me this stuff is embargoed? And yet here Giga Ohm has released information on it. Hey, we're in Gizmodo. There's a very rare video of Steve Jobs telling the history of Apple. And it was recorded back in 1980. And, you know, I have to agree with the Gizmodo editors here. Man, Steve Jobs singing the same song for a long time. The man was on message for decades. He really was. And I'll have this up for you to check out. Link will be in the show notes. It's not so rare anymore. It's out on the web. All right, NASA, a little NASA news here. NASA is looking to send landers to Europa in 2020. And basically, they want to break the ice. So they want to go out to Europa, which is a moon of Jupiter. And they want to basically get out there and drill through its icy layer and see what's underneath in liquid form. So they hope to have a space vehicle or a rover of some sorts ready by 2026 to go out to Europa. So 2026, that's, you know, in dog years here, that's not too far away. That's it's 14 years away. And it's just right around the corner for a space perspective. But lots of cool stuff, maybe, and hopefully that they'll make the schedule and be able to make some discoveries. We'll see. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes. Well, as soon as AT&T decided it's going to pull out from the T-Mobile deal, of course, today they're asking for some more time to consider options, and there's all kinds of, minutia going on, more than I even care to cover. But the FCC has restarted its review clock on the AT&T spectrum purchase that it was making from Qualcomm. Now, AT&T proposed to acquire a huge portion of Qualcomm's 700 megahertz spectrum. And basically now the FCC has said, hey, we're going to open this up again, this consideration, the 180D review process starts now. So even if the FCC says it's okay, they're not going to give that word for another 180 days. So really AT&T is screwed at this point in being able to take over the 700 megahertz band and have the license for that to develop apps and phones for it. So it is an interesting move here by the FCC. And doesn't look, you know, I kind of like it when there's a little bit of this going on, because it's about time there's a little bit of scrutiny put upon these mobile carriers. And then we need to see more of this type of scrutiny. I really do. Okay, geeks, hold on to your hat. If you listen to this show and you've been here for a while, you are going to love this next product. Now, how many of you ever saw the, it's probably the only movie I ever watched that was like an animated cartoon. You guys know WALL-E? You guys remember that movie, WALL-E? Well, The folks at Easy Robot, wait till you see this. The folks at Easy Robot have built, are releasing a build your own kit, and you can build your own Wall-E robot. Now, this is going to be a completely fully functioning killbot, and $235 will buy you a wireless controller, ultrasonic distance sensors, wireless tracking camera, 3 standard servos, 2 continuous rotation servos, battery pack, and software that lets you control the bot without having to learn to code. Software also includes vision tracking, speech recognition, and the whole thing will even integrate with your Roomba. Now, what I really want is the homemade Wall-E. And this thing would be cool to go on my shelf. Now, my son, who is into robotics in a big way, he's one of the leads on his robotics team in high school. I saw this, and I'm like, Ray, come here. And he came in the office. I said, if I buy it, will you build it? And he said, oh, yeah, I'll build it, Dad. This thing is cool. And I got to have it. That's just, it is done. And this is very, very, very cool. Now, I'm, you know, trying to figure out how this Wall-E is. And it really, and it what this robot, you're not going to get the Wall-E box. You're going to have to build that on your own. And that was originally was built by a Canadian DJ, and he made his own real Wall-E. But the whole robotics part of this project kit is cool, and I want for my kids to use. And he can build whatever he wants from a shape perspective, and we'll make it something fun, and have it here in the studio. And if nothing else, sitting on the counter here, looking around, doing stuff while we're doing the show. So I'll have this link up in the show notes for you to check out. Well, we talked just a little bit on the last show or last couple of shows about the Jaws1.com, where they seized that. You know, the there's more questions being raised now. In fact, the during a hearing at the Justice Department, the Judiciary Committee was having a hearing with the Attorney General Eric Holder, and he was asked about the release of the domain name back to the owner, and he didn't have too much to say. He kind of did some stuff jokingly about it, but what's going on now is that Senator Ron Wyden has told Wired that he intends to start asking significant questions about operation in our sites, and he's not going to be giving up this information quest easily. So anyway, the link will be up in the show notes on this, but it's nice to see some of these domain seizures getting scrutiny. I'm sure some of them, there's, you know, compelling reasons too, but at the same point, we've seen a bunch of abuses here already on this. TechDirt also has a good article on what other websites is the U.S. government secretly censoring, and they're trying to determine from that specific action what other sites are trying to get their domains back and in a fight with them. They think there may be as many as 4 additional websites that the owners are trying to recover, but they're stuck in this minutia going on and the process and the judicial process to get the get a hearing and get them back. So I'll have that link up for you to review if you so desire. But it's showing you here that the owners of those domains say, I want the domain back. You weren't supposed to take it. There was nothing wrong here. Now, one thing I have not covered that made some news, and it's just because I didn't have enough information, but apparently there in this year's National Defense Authorization Act, currently making its way through both the House and the Senate, there is some debate continuing over a controversial provision, which even to me makes me a little bit wow. Essentially, they're going to extend indefinite military detention without charge or trial to also cover U.S. citizens rather than just foreign terrorist suspects. Now, of course, we've got terrorists still in Gitmo. They have not been released. Of course, the president had promised to do that to get those folks moved, and it never happened. Gitmo still, very much in operation. Don't hear too much about news anymore, do you? But it is interesting that if you, first of all, we live in a country where you have a right to say anything you want, right? And you have to be expect to have some reaction to things you say. You say something about wanting to cause someone harm that may cause you to get arrested. You say something to subvert stuff, it can cause you some problems. You could lose a job. Your employer may not be happy with what you're saying. You know, there's all a bunch of stuff that could happen from free speech. But what is the provision? What are the grounds? For a U.S. citizen to be held without charge and without a trial? What did this country get built on? It got built on a revolutionary act that basically allowed the colonists of the 13 colonies to take up arms and beat the British out of the colonies, which led to our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution and our Bill of Rights and everything that goes along with the government that we have today. And so it scares even me when I see provisions being able to detain American citizens. Does that mean they can detain American citizens within the United States? What happens for you to be coming under the scrutiny of falling under this? Makes me really go, Now, only 17 of the 423 representatives voted against the measure to take discussions behind closed doors. And Section 1031 of this Defense Authorization Act expressly codes in the detention authority and the use of military force. I think we all understand that terrorists need to, foreign terrorists should be locked up. But at the same time, where is it? What is the definition of a terrorist? If you're saying bad things about the government and you take up arms, are you then considered a terrorist? I don't know. It's kind of a weird topic for me. Having spent 24 years in the Navy, and defending people's rights to have free speech and be able to sleep in their beds and not worry about the government's kicking the doors in and coming in and occupying your homes and all the things that we have within the Bill of Rights that in our Constitution that protects us as American citizens. Some of this stuff is, to me, it just makes me go, wow. And the current administration does object to the military custody provision of Section 1032, which would appear to mandate, again, military custody of a certain class of terrorism suspects. So I'd like to see what that definition is. And, maybe we're all overreacting to this. But, obviously, if you go, let's be straight up, though. If you go somewhere, even in the United States, and you try to attack a civilian or a military unit, there's consequences for doing that. And I don't think any of us would stand at all for it. You especially go overseas and you take up arms against the United States, you're fair game in my opinion. But where's the line drawn? If you're speaking strong words against the government, does that give the U.S. the authority to lock you up? I don't know. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? So, I'm very patriotic. I believe in this country. I believe in our process. It makes me a little, sometimes I see some of this stuff and makes me say, wow, it really does. Definitely want to read more up on it, and I'm sure this will garner some feedback. But a lot of stuff going on in our legislature for sure. All right, kind of off the tech reservation there for a bit. And this was an article that was tied into stuff that Tech Dirt was talking about that I just happened upon. It's a good article on theguardian.co.uk from Corey Doctorow talking about the pirates of YouTube and how public domain content is basically being claimed by different individuals, specifically federal content that's made available as under the public domain. It's by the FedFlix project, which is a charitable project that basically is they try to archive and digitize videos created at U.S. government expense. So basically some of these videos are being claimed by companies as their own and becoming an issue on YouTube. I have that link up in the show notes. But again, fair use and public domain stuff continues to go under attack. Well, let's talk just here a little bit about, you know, we all heard in the news about that drone potentially landing in Iran. And, of course, the news has been all over that. But here in our own backyard, KTLA.com, a Los Angeles website, basically say police employed a predator drone to basically help some ranchers in North, have some police authorities in North Dakota round up some folks that were basically having some issues with the law officials there. So they used a drone to capture these guys. So it's no different than a helicopter being overhead, I guess, but using a drone instead. Many of you use Adblock with Firefox, but Adblock is basically producing some additional stuff to its configuration that will allow unobtrusive ads to be displayed. So those of you that use Adblock, I'd love to hear your feedback on how this new feature works and whether you like it or not. And they basically said the description of acceptable ads include the following criteria: static advertisements only, no animation, sound, or similar, preferably text only, no attention-grabbing images. At most, one script will delay page load. So in other words, this is basically they're trying to define what a acceptable ad is that would display. I hope that you, they're running Adblock, put us, don't have News Central. I hope you let those banners load and be seen. The FBI's rejected Freedom of Information Act about Carrier IQ. So essentially, website Muckrock sent a Freedom of Information Act request to FBI asking for manuals, documents, and other written guidance used to access or analyze data gathered by programs developed or deployed by Carrier IQ. The FBI has responded with a rejection of the request, claiming an exemption applies because such documents could reasonably be expected to interfere with enforcement proceedings. Uh-huh. So this is interesting. Now, does that mean that the FBI is using Carrier IQ or they're using something similar? Kind of makes you go, doesn't it? Where there's smoke, I would assume there's usually fire. Hey, those touchpads that were going on sale for HP, they sold out in minutes. They were only available for like 10 minutes once they were put online, and they were gone. So I wasn't paying attention and missed out on it, but I hope some of you were able to get one because of being informed on this show. Hey, over at MSNBC.com, there's a pretty good article about the world's smallest steam engine that's just 3 micrometers. Now, having grown up in the country and with a grandfather that actually used real steam engines, and having gone to Thrasher events and places where I could see steam engines being used, and some pretty, that's a fun event to go to, fun to, as a kid to go to and see how things were at the turn of the century, in the 1900 turn of the century, and how steam engines were used. But this specific steam engine is, again, 1 micrometer being 0.001 of a millimeter. And this thing is an actual, basically a steam engine. It recreates the working idea of the Stirling engine, which is a gas-filled cylinder that drives a piston with heated gas expansion or cooled gas contraction. So instead of a piston, a plastic bead floating in water has its motion controlled by 2 lasers. 1 laser changes the intensity periodically to allow greater or lesser degree of motion. The other laser switches on and off to heat or cool the water. So pretty cool here. And I don't know what the ultimate purpose of that is, but they've been able to do a 3 micrometer steam engine, probably a horsepower of 0.00000000001. Are you an Angry Bird fan? Well, an Angry Bird has released new episodes. So even if you don't, everyone's played Angry Birds at least once. So, but Rovio has gave its fan the best gift ever. And as of all, iOS users get a free update with 15 special levels. So now there are 300 levels that are unlocked. So this is huge. So what else is going on here? What else they say? People are buying the plush toys that are available at different stores. I hear that's a hot thing this Christmas season. People are buying the stuffed Angry Birds. So I can see those being flown around the house or thrown around the house and knocking stuff over. I'm sure that'll go over with parents well. Hey, if you're going to tweet something, make sure you don't tweet your own telephone number. Charlie Sheen, basically, he was texting someone his phone number and he tweeted it. So I guess he got some calls. And he got a flood of calls and text messages. And he had a little fun with it. He answered the phone a few times saying like Ray's Pizza and winning, and basically it was one of those dumber and dumber moments, but his number's been changed subsequently. But it used to be 310-954-7277. IBM today has reported that they're going to have a fourth quarter revenue shortfall of roughly $1 billion. And the reason for that shortfall is the hard drive and component shortage coming out of Thailand. And they say Q1 is going to be a little rough, and they're not going to be able to deliver as many as 3.8 million PCs. And this is going to, could cause also shipments to slow down in 2012 by about 7%. And this is a major issue. And they say first quarter is going to be kind of crazy. So I hope you're not needing any hard drives anytime soon. But Intel is basically saying, hey, they're going to have to take a earnings hit because of the flood issues. All right. Imagine you are at a casino and you put your money in and you don't pull the handle anymore. I guess you can. You push the button and it spins, and all of a sudden you hit the progressive jackpot for $57 million. Now, would you be like jumping up and down and screaming? I know I would. But apparently, a 26-year-old in Kosovar, Albania, reportedly pushed the buttons on a slot machine in Bregenz, Austria. And it basically told him, hey, you've won it. You've won $57 million. And then the casino said, sorry. That was a mistake. And so instead, what we're going to do is we're going to give you $100 and a fine casino lunch. Wow. If this would never happen in the United States, I think they would have to pay, wouldn't they? So maybe not, but the casino... This guy didn't accept the casino's seemingly less than generous offer. Then the casino reportedly banned him. When he pressed for his dues legally, the casino allegedly pressed the a buck to the folks who made the slot machine. And wow, this is interesting how this is going to turn out here. We'll see. We'll see where this goes and whether he ever gets his money or not. But Apparently, you put your money in, says you've won, and you don't get to collect. Sounds fishy to me. Sounds like it would have put the casino out of business. Last couple of articles here. Amazon has best Microsoft and all other contenders in a cloud storage test. There was a company called Nozuni, which sells data protection services that works across any type of cloud service, says that it's been testing 16 largest cloud storage provider since April 2009 to determine the best service for its customers. They say ultimately only 6 of 16 providers passed Nosuni's testing. In addition to Amazon and Microsoft, the other winners were Neuravanix, Rackspace, AT&T Synaptic, Pier 1 Hosting. It goes on to say both AT&T and Pier 1 use EMC's Atmos platform on the back end, and EMC itself discontinued its own public cloud based on Atmos. So in other words, those six were ready for, say that this company says ready for real world use, and the city politely declined to say which 10 services failed. But they say that it's, in most cases, Amazon S3 and Microsoft Azure were the top two top performers in the scalability test. So link will be up in the show notes. We've had great luck with some of the Amazon stuff. We really have. It's worked out good. We've heard a lot about Light Squared over the past couple of months. And there was a report released basically saying that about 97% of GPS devices were affected, but 75% of GPS devices were affected by the Light Squared signal. And they're pretty pissed off that this was leaked. This could spell the death of this company. Who ran this experiment? Let me look here. Does it say? The experiment was carried out between October 31st and November 4th, showed that 69 of 92 GPS receivers experienced harmful interference when within 100 meters of a Light Squared base station, according to the Bloomberg story. But the disclosure was foul play. Light Squared executives protested in a Monday conference call, and the data is a distortion of the truth. They say that this came from someone in the government process, and it's an outrage, declared Light Squared executive vice president Martin Harimian. He said, "We are disappointed about the leak that occurred on Friday," adding the company's general counsel. "We think it was clearly intended to subvert the fairness of the process. The report presents a completely slanted and selective review of the test results. Clear leak was intended to prejudice the issue and prejudice public opinion against Light Squared." This continues to be a battle here. And as an electronics guy, I understand the issue, largely because most GPS manufacturers have never put a filter on their antennas to filter out signals outside of their band, and it just basically causes the GPSs to get lost. Last couple articles here. This one just blows me away. This is a Dumber and Dumber article. Police in Oklahoma arrest a woman on charges of attempting to manufacture meth inside a Walmart. On Thursday, shopper Alicia Halfmoon, 45, allegedly grabbed ingredients from the shelves and mixed chemicals inside the store. She was attempting to contain these chemicals and was in the process of trying to manufacture meth. Police said she wasn't real good at it. But when officer confronted Half Moon, the suspect had already just finished mixing a bottle of sulfuric acid with starter fluid. So she's going to cook it right there in Walmart. That is someone in need of some serious help. We can only hope that her time in the slammer, she will get some drug intervention help. That's just amazing. You're going to, like, you couldn't smell what was cooking. Oh, it just blows me away. It really does. Anyway, that'll be it for tonight for the articles. Let me go ahead and check and see what we've got on the email side. I still just can't believe that. I really can't. You got an email here from Richard. He says, "Hey, Todd, just want to let you know that the TuneIn Radio has updated their app and now have podcasts. So you don't have to load your phone up with stuff from iTunes. You have to purchase a premium app, though. It's only $2.99. Just thought I'd let you know. Love the show." So we'll have to check that in. I'm not familiar with the TuneIn Radio app, but we'll check that. Got an email here from Jeff. He said, "Hey, Todd, no AT&T, no problem. Dish Network opened a partnership with T-Mobile." So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you. Trucker Tom sent me a link. Say, "Hey, Todd, this reminds me of Jodie Foster movies Contact. 47-year-old television signal bouncing back to Earth. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I'll have this link up in the show notes. Yes, 47-year-old television signal bouncing back to Earth. It's went out and hit something and come back. The question is, what did it hit? 47 years? 47 years? How far out did it go? You know, it had to go out at least 23 and a half some years. This is on the BBC. While searching deep space for extraterrestrial signals, scientists at the Arecibo Observatory in Puerto Rico stumbled across signals broadcast from Earth nearly half a century ago. Radio astronomer Dr. Verne described how he made a historic discovery after analyzing a number of signals originating from the same point in space. I realized that the signal was in the VHF band and slap bang in the middle of 41 to 68 megahertz. It was obviously old terrestrial television broadcasts, but they seemed to be originating from deep space. After boosting digital enhancement, the resulting video signals are remarkably clear. Where did it bounce off? Let me look away. Let's see here. They are signals that left Earth about 50 years ago and bounced off an object, more likely a field of objects some 25 light years away. He didn't give me an idea, but what's the odds of that? This is a good one for the conspiracy theorist, yeah? I think so. Another email from Trucker Tom. Skype monitoring, Gmail hacks, and fake iTunes update. How government can track you. This is a ZDNet article. I have that link up in the show notes. Got an email here. Oh, Google is aiming to preserve the historic Hangar 1. I've been in that hangar in Miramar. And Moffett Field, excuse me. And VentureBeat has the article on how basically Google says, we'll pay for the... They're taking now the outer shield of Hangar 1, and that's the old blimp hangar. And those of you that drive, what is the name of that highway? I'm not a California, I don't go to California a lot, but you drive by there. Anyway, those panels on the outside of Hangar 1 had PCB and asbestos and that type of stuff in it. And they're taking the counter covering up. And Google's basically stepped up to the plate and said, we'll give you the $23 million it needs to cover it up, but we want to park our 8 jets inside for doing so. So NASA hasn't responded on that as well. Kindle has gotten a simple jailbreak. Thanks to Jeff for that. I appreciate it. And Trucker Tom said, hey, Todd, here's a 700-pound iPod speaker to appear at CS 2012. It's called the No Decibel. He says it might be able to fill an entire football stadium with vibrations from who let the dogs out. So anyway, there's a good article on that. Thanks for that. And Tucker Tom also sent me a link to the same turbine engine that went up in flames that we've talked about here recently. And one from Richard says, my force pushes a panic button app for the campus. What is that? Security app. Oh, my force pushes a panic button app for the campus. And what this is a Virginia Tech has got an app that they can push to warn all their students. So I'll have a link up and you can read about that. I may have gotten the context of that a little incorrect because I didn't read the article. And got an email here from Richard also talking about hundreds of NASA moon rocks missing. Not surprising. Hey, I'll just take one. And that's it. I think we're close here. Two more. I got an email from Ron talking about the Logitech review update forthcoming. And Bree sent one that says, did you hear this? Is a giant cloaked spaceship orbiting Mercury? That's been the speculation from some corners after cameras onboard the NASA Stereo spacecraft caught a wave of electronic charged material shooting out from the sun and hitting Mercury. And they saw something very strange. Link will be up in the show notes. All right, that's it. And as always, comments to the show, Geek News. You guys got some good ones that came in today. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline, of course, is 619-342-7365. Call in, blast me, let me know what you like, what you hate, you know. And definitely, we again want to thank our sponsors, GoDaddy, for their sponsorship of the show. All these great deals for Christmas. We want to thank audiblepodcast.com/geeknews. Get your free 14-day Audible trial. And of course, we hope that you'll contribute to our fundraiser for the for our support staff. And of course, every dollar I make off the Audible campaign this month goes towards our support fund as well. And thanks for being here. Thanks, and I'm glad to be back in the studio. Still got some tweaking to do with the white levels and all that stuff on the video. But hope you enjoyed the show. And we'll see you next time, next go around, everyone. And aloha.